Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, we said the game, the win against Dallas was a sigh, right? It was a sigh of relief. The game against Detroit felt better.
Right. It was joy, man. The other one was a sigh of relief, that was legitimate joy. Like a buddy of mine, he went to the game, and that was the first game he's been to this season. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "This is amazing." I'm like, "It's not always like this." but yeah, man, super fun. So it was so fun because like Kuzma is like the scorer who doesn't dominate the ball. Lonzo is this guy who's just kind of everywhere, just dominating in all of these mm-hmm. other facets of the game. Ingram, I thought, had an underrated night in that like he contributed all over the board, had 9 rebounds and 6 assists along with good defense. It was kind of like that. This is the template for everybody, how it should work type of night with LeBron out.
I especially liked watching LeBron on the sideline. Like I think it's very significant that the Lakers have, if they beat Utah, by the time you guys are listening to this today, they will have gone 500 over the time that LeBron was out. They have treaded water. And I think that's very significant because for a while there, let's say they go 1-5, right? They go 0-6 even. Then you're looking at, all right, who's got to get moved? Who's getting fired?
right.
Who's got to go? But they treaded water. They did. They have done to this point what was kind of sort of expected, if not needed, of them. And I thought last night put a nice cherry on top with how everybody played.
I think the fair way to evaluate this stretch is when they had all of the core four, right? Yeah. I think the couple games where Kuzma was out was the worst of it. And when you think about it, like that's
makes sense.
Obvious. Yeah, it makes sense, right? like I'm not going to evaluate the overall totality of the team without LeBron when the second best scorer, especially the guy who's most capable of stepping into that, like I can score 30 or 40 points on any given night type of role. That's neither Lonzo nor Brandon, even though Brandon obviously has a lot more scoring ability than Lonzo does. There's a scoring ability within Kuzma that's just a little bit different. So yeah, when you had those core four guys, like they did all right, all in all. And one of them was this like bonkers step back buzzer beating three against Sacramento in the first game where they played really well and they kind of choked it away down the stretch. They could have had one more win than they even do now.
Yeah, I would agree. All that said, I still don't feel bad for overreacting in the other direction. Like there was some bad basketball. There was a lot of the same. The Lakers still have a lot of the same question marks. I think overall, this last 5-6 games or so, or the 6 games that we'll have played with LeBron out, I thought overall everybody handled it fairly well. I wasn't really thrown off by how any of the reactions, other than like the casuals and stuff who were calling for everybody to be fired. But I thought overall this was a nice statement about the state of the Lakers right now.
Well, I think to be fair, we were pretty pissed off a couple of games ago, right? And what that came from is like the lack of effort and fire and passion, as Luke said, right? Like go out there, play hard, do your thing. Like Lonzo going scoreless on 4 shots and barely doing much else. And then Brandon, you know, having his kind of foibles. And like that was, I think, justified frustration. And I don't think that 2 wins against Dallas and Detroit erase that. But like, you know, I brought up Lonzo. This is the guy that I defend, right? Like, this is the guy, version that I'm trying to defend when he plays like he did against Detroit. Mm-hmm. And he only scores 5 points, but it was a plus 24. Just, like, had his fingerprints all over that game. And the thing about that is, like, it's not like shooting. And maybe I'm foolish that you can bring that energy level. Maybe not 82 games, but can he do it 70 games or 75 games if you were to play a full season? Like, because that isn't like a jump shot where Kuz is going to score, go 4-for-20 one game and then score 41 the next. That's kind of the nature of scoring. I feel like how Lonzo does his thing, like, can't he do that every night or am I just being naive?
No, I think it's fair to expect, if not that, like if that was a 10 out of 10 game, it's fair to expect an 8.5. You know, on a nightly basis.
Right. Just from effort and activity.
Yeah. I also, like, we talked about before yesterday's game We talked a lot. I think I made the point of when Lonzo just catches and fires with his first touch, you know there's a chance that he's going to have that good game. And he missed it, and he did it again, and he missed it again. But he never got down on himself. And that's the Lonzo I want. That's the one I want.
For sure. And even he went 1-for-4 from three. And after the one that he hit, which I think was his third attempt, or no, his fourth attempt, he was like, yeah. And I love that. We're seeing more than that. He had this moment where he jumped to give LeBron a high five when he went back to the bench. Just these little signs of joy and emotion. You know, his daughter was in the crowd.
Yeah.
I'm sure that had an impact. Just things like that, though, like the joy and happiness and love of playing basketball, like that's a necessary component for Lonzo to hit his ceiling. I mean, it's true of anybody, but with the way he plays, it's more true with him than anyone else.
Yep, I completely agree. We're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, this has been overwhelmingly positive, and for the most part, this is going to be an overwhelmingly positive show. But Luke Walton said something before the game that set me the hell off when I had to write about it today. for Silver Screen and Roll. So hang tight. When we come back, we might get an old-fashioned Anthony Irwin rant. So, Pete, you asked Luke the question about Lonzo's free throw shooting form or routine or whatever. The exact question here that I have in front of me is there anything Lonzo needs to change specifically about his shooting form or routine? Luke Walton's response, and I'm shaking, no, I'm not going to speak on his form or routine. In practice, he'll sit there and make 25 or 30 out of 35. He sits there and he'll hit them. Everyone can always tweak stuff, but it's hard to really tweak things during the season. I think the more he continues to play aggressively and the more he gets to the line, he'll get more comfortable there and he'll knock them down. So remember back when Shaq was an awful free throw shooter? He at least had the decency to lie to us and say he would go like 90 out of 100, you know? But if you're bragging about your starting point guard going 25 of 35 from the line in practice, what are you doing? What are we doing here? Like, 20, that's 71%. it's like, Jen, I know I've been drinking too much lately. I promise I'm going to get better at it. The other day, I only took like 12 shots at the bar. You know, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't. Well, what do we look? I've had a couple conversations with some people about this who are relatively close to the Lakers, and the common response is guys tend to like to have their own shooting coach, right? And that's a common response for all NBA players generally is what I've heard. My thing is, let's say somebody doesn't have their own shooting coach, why not? Like offer up an option in the instance in which that guy doesn't have a shooting coach, or let that shooting coach and the other shooting coach at least figure out what he's trying to do from the line. Like this isn't reading Tom Thibodeau's defense. This isn't trying to stop the Golden State death lineup. This is free throws, man. They're giving up free points, and he's saying, nope, we're good, man. Everything's hunky dory. All right,
Look, man, I'm laughing because a lot of it's how I feel. It's funny being in the scrums, and I'll get people asking me this on Twitter, like, why don't you ask about how bad their offensive sets are, or will you fire Jesse Mermes? And it's like, you know, you're not going to get the answer that you want on a lot of it. And I wanted to hear his perspective also, but knowing that he was not going to divulge, like the very first part of that was like, nah, I'm not going to give you specifics about his shooting form, his routine. Like even if they were working on it, he ain't going to tell me or the media in general. I do get that. That being said, the idea of players liking to have their own shooting coach and all that, you know, maybe as you get a little bit older, from my understanding, Lonzo's shooting coach is Darren Moore, who's his roommate and he's, you know, in the whole big baller universe and has kind of grown up with him. He's obviously older than Lonzo, but has been with him in one capacity or another since high school. Is he the person who should be teaching Lonzo Ball
No.
how to shoot a basketball?
No.
That's probably the right answer. I don't know. I don't know his training methods or anything like that. I will say that Lonzo Ball is shooting in the low 40s from the free throw line.
He's gotten worse, by the way.
And he's gotten worse. He's also shooting 43% over the course of his whole entire career from the free throw line on 117 attempts. He would have to make his next 48 free throws just to become a 60% free throw shooter on his career. He'd have to go 48 for 48.
Good news is,
and that's still bad, right? 60% is still bad.
Well, that's like he would have to go to practice like 3 days and sit there. Like, you can't even do that in practice.
What's the old thing about, you know, you give a hundred monkeys, or a million monkeys, a million years, and eventually they're going to type out Shakespeare. You know, like that's the right. The old saying, right? Like, yeah. you have the point is that, like, you have to be purposeful. And I don't love the idea of having like a 20 or 21 year old, especially whose business affairs have been largely handled by his father for much of his career. Like, is that going to be a situation where you get the best person for the job to be doing that? So to me, that's why I think a team should have a shooting coach, is that should be from a control type of environment. It's different than a 28-year-old who wants to, you know, go from a split finger release to a middle finger release on his jumper, like these subtle type things, that knows the game, knows a bunch of, you know, like can hire somebody on his own. Having kids kind of lead their own way, I think they need more structure.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. It'd be one thing if he was trending in the right direction or even treading water. But when you're getting worse, like at some point, someone needs to step in here. You know, that's
it's too passive of an approach to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And look, that passive and hands-off approach works with guys like LeBron, right? Because you know LeBron is going to put in that time. LeBron is as annoyed as anybody when he wasn't making his free throws, right? Okay. And I'm not going to sit here and judge Lonzo's response to missing free throws and stuff. All I'm saying is he's getting worse. And this isn't neuroscience, man. Like, free throws are easy. It's not a great sign when I feel like I could step into the Lakers training facility and make better than 25 out of 35 free throws. I'd be better at shooting free throws than the starting point guard of the Los Angeles Lakers. That doesn't give me a great feeling. And the other thing too that I put in the piece as well is that it has a ripple effect on the rest of Lonzo's game. You know, it'd be one thing if it was an isolated thing that doesn't really affect anything else. But Lonzo is reluctant to get fouled. He's reluctant to drive to the basket and draw contact because he doesn't want to get to the free throw line because he continues to get worse here. And the Lakers can't have that.
100%, man. And that, I think, impacts the energy and spirit and joy and all those things that I was talking about at the beginning.
Yeah.
That, like, it has this, it cascades, it avalanches down to where he's, like, he's almost unplayable when he gets in his own head.
Literally unplayable on a couple occasions this year.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Luke didn't play him. Yeah. Let's change course here. I just had to get that rant off my chest, man. I had to write about it. I don't know. We've talked long enough that shooting is kind of sort of my thing. Like, that's my favorite thing to watch happen. Actually, last night you sent out a tweet about Kuzma, and this is a perfect segue here, but you sent out a tweet about Kuzma's open three shooting, right? And then a couple of people responded, and you retweeted them about the stats that Kuzma is shooting on wide open three-pointers. And he was heading into last night, it was, I think you said, 29.8% from three or something like that.
Before he got hot, yeah.
Yeah, that obviously improved a little bit. But one of the things that I noticed over the course of that game was, this season, it seems like Kuzma has rushed his shot, and it's even more obvious that he's rushing his shot, given how open he has been for most of the season. And I felt like from the second quarter on, his shot, like, visibly slowed down. It had a better rhythm to it. It was something that I really noticed there. And Kuzma, Luke credited Kuzma after the game, saying that he stepped into the gym, shot 500 shots, looked at tape and rethought some stuff about his shot, and then went out there and had the performance that he had. And the point I want to make, because it's easy to just say, wow, Kuzma went off. But the point I want to make here is the way Kuzma scored is easily replicable when LeBron steps in. It's all of the things that the Lakers need when LeBron steps in.
Absolutely. Synergy had that great stat that they tweeted out about how that was one of the highest scoring games of the last decade from a player who didn't use a single isolation or post up.
Yeah.
That's crazy. He scored 41 without doing either of those things. I just released a breakdown of the game, and that's absolutely the case. It's attacking closeout, filling the wing in transition, spotting up, coming off of screens, cutting. And he's got that wonderful floater game that he really knows. His combination of his quickness at his size and his shooting touch is really, really rare. And he's a special type of scorer. I know that we see all of these guys as that are like juniors, and he was a redshirt junior. So he was essentially a senior coming out age wise. We see them as being close to their peak, their ceiling. But Kuzma is a special guy from the thirst for knowledge type of standpoint. Yeah. Right. He's always looking for how can I get better. Now, he definitely wants to prove that he's a bad MF-er, and I know he says all of the right things post game.
Shoes on his shirt.
I was cracking up. Like, this guy, right? He says all the right things about, oh, it's Beasley's birthday, I didn't want to come back in. Man, I feel like I understand Kuz more than most of the other players in terms of like his personality. That dude wanted 50 bad. The good news is that he's a good enough scorer that that's not going to be his last chance to do that.
Yeah, I completely agree. What are the chances he changes his number to 50 if he drops 50 in that game? I want to come back. I want to talk a little bit more about Kuzma. We have to take a break here to pay some bills. But when we come back, we're gonna build on some of these points about Kuzma and LeBron and Ingram and some of the things. Last night, I loved how you put it, that the Lakers just did a lot of the things that they have to do consistently in order to succeed. It wasn't an outlier game that they just dominated. I want to build on those points here in a second. Call me naive and stuff, but I'm still gonna love that quote that he gave about Beasley. I just thought like it was particularly poignant. I don't know. I doubt in hindsight now. I'm kind of a sucker for these kinds of things, but like Beasley goes through all the stuff that he has over the last couple of months. It's his birthday, all that stuff. Beasley has a special night, and I thought it was kind of cool that Kuzma was like, "No, man, I was hyped for Beast, but now that I'm thinking about it, I'd have been pissed."
Well, look, I don't think it has anything to do with Beast. Like I think in Kuzma's mind, he's like, "What does he have to do with me? We could have played together, right?"
Yeah.
I still could have gotten my 50 piece, right?
So. Yeah. But I want to talk, though. So we've talked about Kuzma and not requiring ISO touches, right? Over the last couple games, we have seen Ingram kind of slide over to a secondary creator role in the half court, and I think that's looked pretty good. The analogy I used last night, and let me know what you think about this one. I was kind of proud of it because I came up with it on the spot. But I noticed last night there was that stretch in the third quarter, because Kuzma didn't play in the fourth. It was in the third quarter. The Lakers had a couple plays break down. Kuzma still bailed them out with a couple deep threes, but Detroit had the momentum in the game. It was kind of clear to me that Detroit had some momentum there, and they wound up bringing the forcing a timeout and stuff. And I tweeted out during the game that I think the Lakers looked better when Lonzo was a little bit more involved here. And the analogy that I used was, remember those ancient ships that like people had to like actually row?
I don't remember them because that was thousands of years ago, but I am very interested in where this analogy is going. So please continue.
So those ships wouldn't operate correctly if not for the guy who used to bang on the drum.
Right. Oh, to get everybody in rhythm?
Yeah, to get everybody. And I just say, Lonzo was that guy for the Lakers in the half court, that when the ball goes through him, he is very good at figuring out who needs to touch the ball where. He's also very good. I noticed over the course of his career, he's very good at recognizing, all right, if the ball goes there, the defense might rotate that way, and that's going to allow something on the backside there, right? He's very good at figuring these things out. Ingram isn't as good at that, and you kind of see that when the half-court offense kind of stalls. And so what do you think of the bang-the-drum theory here with Lonzo, and is that something the Lakers can institute and implement even when LeBron comes back?
No, I think that that's a – I was wondering where the hell you were going with that, and I love it after you finished it. I think that's a good way to put it. Lonzo, I always talk about how he feels it, and he's starting to see – one step ahead. Like, there were a couple plays last night where I was like, huh, that's interesting. One of them was one of Kuzma's missed threes in the first quarter where Kuz rotated the ball over to him, and the way that Kuzma's defender reacted was to go tag JaVale immediately on that pass. And so Kuz was trying to set up a ball screen for Lonzo and JaVale, and Lonzo saw that Kuz's defender had come off of him, and immediately, as soon as it touched his hands, went right back to Kuz. Kuz missed the three at the top of the key, but he got Kuz an open shot because he saw, like, this is starting to be some of the knowledge that I'm seeing in the just last couple of games. I mean, it hasn't been long enough for me to believe in it yet, but rather than it just being an understanding, oh, you did that, so the ball should go here. That play with JaVale, that little tap pass, it wasn't just the tap pass that was impressive. It was the entire, like, handoff sequence where JaVale had the ball at the elbow. Lonzo ran one way, and then they were playing ball denial high side, so he did a swim move and did the back cut. And, like, so he recognized, they're defending me this way, this is going to be open. And there was no stops. It was all one fluid action, how he did everything. And then the brilliant tap pass to end it.
Yeah.
So all of that, like, can he do that when LeBron gets back? To me, that's one of the biggest questions of the entire Lakers season.
Yep.
Because if LeBron can play like this, there was a cut shot in the footage where I think it was when Lonzo made that layup. He made that sweet double cross, got to the rim, made the lefty layup. And LeBron was like, all the time.
Yes.
You can see him say all the time.
I didn't know if it was that or the play that Lonzo made to KCP. It was one of those two plays.
Maybe it was. I don't remember. Doesn't matter. It was definitely Lonzo was who he was talking about. I would like to think that he's thinking the same thing that we all think of, like, play like this all the time. Right? Yeah. And but the ability to do that, it comes down to this, Anthony. Lonzo Ball cannot just stand in the corner when LeBron comes back. And that's not necessarily a Lonzo issue, right? He needs to be more involved in the half court offense while still doing the things that he does in transition. Because that, whether or not LeBron's there, shouldn't impact it. If anything, it's positive because LeBron can get out on a rim run in transition, and there he's totally unstoppable in the open court.
Yeah, I think we'll see a return of Lonzo Roomba, right? Lonzo Roomball. We'll see a return of that. Yes. And then I think we'll also, one of the things that I've kind of liked recently has been Lonzo's ability in the pick and roll as well. And with some of the points that you were making about seeing the pass that leads to the pass and those kinds of things as well, he's not going to attack, you know, drop coverage or anything like that. He's not that type of player, but he's smart enough to be able to figure things out. And I think if you put him and LeBron in the pick and roll in either direction here, whether it's LeBron handling the ball or Lonzo handling the ball, it puts the Lakers in a pretty decent spot. And if Kuzma continues to shoot and not need isolation touches in the same way, and KCP has kind of sort of turned his shooting around, though it's still up and down, you're starting to see the pieces kind of sort of fit here. And now with Beasley stepping in, it's even more exciting.
Anthony, where does Brandon fit into that?
Second unit with Rondo. Like, it's what I've kind of sort of thought all along. My thing here is, all right, if you have the primary option here is that pick and roll that I alluded to a second ago with Lonzo and LeBron in one way or the other, that still involves a rotating defense as Ingram catches the ball. The issue, though, is will the defense, because of the gravity that LeBron has, will the defense actually respect Brandon in the same way that they have been recently? Because you're given a choice, right? Either we give a ton of attention to LeBron and we leave guys open, or we stay at home or whatever. I'm interested to see how that works. What do you think? How does he fit?
I think they need to run to maximize Brandon. This has been something that we haven't talked about enough, but when I did the breakdown of his 29-point performance against Dallas, it was such a stark version of something that we already kind of knew, but he was like 10 of 11 at the rim in that game and 2 for 10 when he wasn't. And like 1 for 7 off of pick and roll jumpers, like, and just like
5 of 5 in transition. Right.
Right. And so maybe I'm being foolish, but like envisioning a running fast break type of style with JaVale McGee rim running, which he's wonderful at, with Ingram filling one wing and LeBron filling the other, Ingram is devastating when the defense isn't set, whether that's off of a scramble situation in the half court or in transition. LeBron is LeBron, obviously, in the open court, probably the best open court player of all time. So those guys filling the wings with Kuzma's ability to pull up and just like his scoring ability off of the ball, with Lonzo being the guy that kind of ignites it, right? And he can outlet to Brandon or LeBron or Kuzma. Mm-hmm. While like, to me, that is, and maybe it's just fantasy, if you are playing purposefully with pace, which the Lakers were not doing the however many games before LeBron got hurt. They did that the first few games and then went away from that. Like, that's there. But I think, honestly, it comes down to, like, will LeBron buy into playing that way? And I have questions about that.
Yeah, me too. Those are I think the one thing that makes me feel a little bit more comfortable with that is the Lakers' willingness and ability to make that cross-court transition pass. That opens up mm-hmm. quite a bit for everybody point. Involved in those transition opportunities. And I think that's one thing that Ingram, again, it's the same thing with Ingram, man. It's really not that complicated. Is give Ingram the ball with a defense that's rotating over to him, whether that's in transition or in the half court. That's just, he's not good against a stationary defense. He's not going to be good as a primary ball handler who just keeps the ball on the same side of the court in transition. Like, those positions aren't going to end very well.
I would love for them to stop going to him in like end of quarter situations.
Yes.
The whole, like, just give the ball to Brandon at half court and at, you know, 6 seconds, have him make his move. Like, to me, like, they got to, That is playing to his worst. Like, it's not good for him. It's not good for the team. Mm-hmm. I would love to see them just do something different than that.
Yeah, it builds bad habits, too. Really quickly before we get out of here, one, my favorite quote of the night was Beasley when he was asked about if he got everything for his birthday. If you haven't seen that video already or that clip yet, go check it out. It's incredible. Beasley gave an incredible all-around performance, not just on the court, but his post-game interview was just magnificent. But Beasley, I think we're reaching a point now where it's painfully obvious that he gets Lance's minutes. Like, he needs many minutes as he can possibly get. And in this case, it's Lance's.
I hope so. Let's assume the starting lineup is the same as it was before LeBron got hurt. But like Rondo, KCP, Josh, Beasley, and Tyson or Zoo, mm-hmm. like that's a really good bench, man. And like the pieces fit together along with being pretty individually talented for a bench unit.
Yeah, I really like the way he approaches the game. There was that possession last night where it was in the fourth quarter. Lance was in. The Lakers were in semi-transition. I talked about this in yesterday's show, but the Lakers were in semi-transition. The ball rotated over to Beasley. He made a quick decision, got the ball over to Lance. Lance wasn't quite in position to shoot, so he didn't. He then put the ball, he palmed the ball, held it there for a couple seconds, went into his dance thing, tried to post up, took up like 8 seconds of shot clock, didn't figure anything out, kicked the ball out to Beasley. Beasley went into immediately attacked a closeout, found Zubats for a dunk. And I just thought that perfectly encapsulated the differences in their games and why Beasley fits so much better with what the Lakers need out of that role.
Yeah, man, like the Lakers aren't very good on offense, especially when you don't have LeBron on the court. And just a guy who can get his own bucket on a consistent and efficient basis.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Lance has shot creation abilities, but I don't think, like, it's the difference between shot creation and finishing abilities. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, especially if you've got Rondo out there, you need more finishers than you necessarily need creators.
Yeah, I completely agree. And quick finishers, guys who can make their decision quickly. Like, he was ripping apart that semi-zone that Detroit was trying to throw in there. Mm-hmm. He was just...
And he's a good passer, too, man.
Yeah.
He's a good passer.
Incredible instincts. I really like his game. I think he's going to be an important part of the Lakers moving forward, so long as Luke goes to him instead of Lance. Anything else that you want to get to before we send people on their weekends?
Nah, man. That was a fun, you know, fun game. It'll be a tough one in Utah. Hopefully LeBron's back soon, but it's good to see things trending upward, and it's all about, can they build on this momentum when LeBron comes back?
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. I will send you guys out on your weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Send your questions in the form of a 5-star review. I will get to them. I've been monitoring them. We're reaching a point where I might have to start doing 2 mailbag shows or splitting them up because we're getting a ton of questions. So I really appreciate that. Keep sending them in, though. I'll figure it out. It's better to have them and not need them than need them and not have them. Have a great rest of your weekend, Pete, and I'll talk to you next week.